Buddy, welcome back from New Year's. I hope you're all settled in. This is your host, Patrick Clerken, Man vs. Mob radio that you're listening to right now. And my guests in studio tonight are Ryan and Ben. And I'm turning their mics on now, and I hope they work. Does yours work? Other mic. That one.
This one?
Yep. We always have problems with this. Oh, but we're getting faster.
This doesn't sound.
I can hear you. Yeah. Yep. I can hear you.
All right.
All right, everybody. So this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And once again, I'm your host, Patrick Clerken. This is Man v. Mob Radio. And I always forget to do this, so I'm going to do this right off the bat. We have a call-in line. We hope that you call it. It is 855-915-9636. Once again, 855-915-9636. And if you don't remember those last four digits, it's WMFO, which is the station. So if you didn't hear me before, my guests in studio tonight are some longtime friends. Ryan, he's been on a couple times, been on the podcast as well as Ben, who's hiding. Ben, you need to move over a bit. You're behind the monitors. There you go. All right, cool. All right, so ground rules.
Ground rules for what?
Well, I promised.
What's going on today?
I promised on. You're right. That doesn't sound totally right. Try the third mic.
Testing, testing.
That's much better. Way better. Right. Okay. There we go. So the ground rules. I had promised listeners on Instagram some Jerry Springer tonight, but it's got to be like a neutered public radio version of Jerry Springer. So
keep it refined.
None of the classic cusses, the F, S, C, no pejoratives.
We're well educated. We'll use proper words.
You can say real words. You can say male nipple, but if you say female nipple, I'll have to bleep you.
Blur it out.
Yep. Don't say fallopian tube. That sounds like a weapon. Can't say penis. You can draw them, but you can't say them. Don't say clitoris. All right. I know you're tempted.
I don't think I've ever said that.
For those tuning in, this is going to be a bit of a raunchy program.
Okay. So I had asked earlier, I had asked Ben for some promo photos for this episode because Ben was saying a couple hours ago, you know, you haven't even done anything on Instagram, social media, nothing. We agreed to come on your program, haven't posted a single thing. So I said, all right, I have a photo that you took, a great photo with all of us from the last time.
Yes, because I'm not selfish. I make sure to make a point to take photos of everybody.
Exactly.
Document our good times together. not just selfies.
Tonight you have to take some photos as well. But the point is, so I had asked Ben for a photo of Ryan from when he was in the studio, if he had a photo, you know, talking to the mic or with headphones on or something. And he sent kind of like a snap from a video. It was very grainy, not very good. Not blaming you for that, but I didn't have anything. So I just said, you know, I'll just kind of scroll through their social media feed on Instagram, see if I can find anything. And the first thing that I found was a photo of Ryan Frenching a dolphin. And then I said, well, I have to use this. So I immediately go over to Ben's profile and find him like
canoodling.
You call it canoodling? You have a cat that looks terrified. So I have to question you about these interspecies relationships that you two are having. How'd the dolphin thing work out? Ben, it wasn't exactly clear that you had consent from that cat in the photo that you had. Some wide-eyed terror.
He certainly didn't like the bow. We did not have consent for the bow, so, you know.
I hear you.
I had full consent.
The dolphin?
Danced with the first. Danced with the first. Sasha was giving me the eyes, and then I went in for the kiss.
Was that at Discovery Cove?
I was in Hawaii.
Oh, Oahu. That's what
I don't remember the name of the park, but
I gotcha. All right, so in general, I don't think any of us are really award shows guys, but that was an epic, hilarious Ricky Gervais bit last night.
He did a good job. There were some cringy jokes, but I mean, for the most part, I think it was a good job. Good job hosting.
What would you think were the ones that were the most cringy?
Oh, I don't remember off the top of my head, but there were a couple of jokes that he made where you're like, he wasn't getting a lot of laughs, and it was kind of...
Okay, the one that I think of off the top of my head is when he was talking about Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yes.
But that's like an ongoing meme on social media, so that to me is like totally relevant and fair game.
Yeah.
Like the ones that were not it was still pretty funny. But the ones where I was like, okay, this is borderline, was the when he talked about Harvey Weinstein. And I didn't even realize that the trial began today when he admitted the comment.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
And then he's like, oh, don't, did you see that bit where he's, because then he's like, oh, don't, you know, don't blame me. You guys are the ones that worked with him. It's all you guys. So you guys are the ones that looked the other way, which, you know, is partially true. But yeah, he did a good job. Steve Carell would have done better, for sure.
Well, actually, I don't know if you know about the ongoing bit, and that'll be our transition, but the ongoing, funny feud between Ricky Gervais and Steve Carell at the Golden Globes. Yeah, it's hilarious.
I'm not completely familiar with it. I've seen a couple of clips, but...
Did you see the one that I posted where he was like, give me the award back?
I saw you posted it, but I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay. You're going to love that
video.
Too
busy working today, but...
With the opening, though, I thought, you know, made it very clear. It was all in good fun. It was jokes. It was humor. And people need to accept that.
I feel like with you.
A lot of people can't accept it. I thought it was great. I thought the whole part about celebrities not coming up and making political statements was hilarious because we all knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
But then
Tom Hanks looked bummed out when he said
Tom Hanks looked so pissed.
Then I woke up this morning, and a certain side of the aisle, I'm not going to name which one, took that meme and ran with it. And I was like, you know, as much as of a lack of ability as some of these actors and actresses have to articulate what they think about our government or specific individuals in it.
Yeah. Still more articulate than a lot of the people.
The kids who didn't graduate high school, I really don't want to hear yours either.
Very good point.
Or graduated them with near felonies.
Yeah.
Very good point, yeah. A lot of, people really did run with it. And, I thought it was, I don't remember the exact term that Gervais said at the end, but he was talking about how all these actors are doing deals with like Apple and Amazon and everyone. They have sweatshops in China and all that. So,
which is
like,
you don't really have a place awkward because was it Tim Cook?
Yeah, the CEO
of Apple was there.
Yep.
Because there are a few Apple TV shows that were nominated. I think the Today Show was one of them.
Yeah.
The Good Morning. I think it's called the Today Show. Or is it the Good Morning Show? Whatever it is. Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell.
I don't know. You don't want the jokes? Don't do it.
No. But it was, that one, with the kids working in sweatshops and stuff. I was like, whoa.
Extremely cringy, but
I'm
very funny.
I'm pretty sure Ricky Gervais was wearing an Apple Watch, though.
Yeah, he probably was.
Which was the kind of a little bit of irony in it, but.
I think one of my favorites was when he was talking about the length of the movie, the Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And he was just like, by the time it was done, Leonardo DiCaprio's date was too old for him.
Yeah.
I felt that.
That was so funny.
That was good.
Okay, anyway, so the transition from this, Steve Carell, the big debate tonight is, this is an ongoing feud for the listeners who are unaware of this, and I would imagine that would be most people, but there is a feud. Ryan is very much on the side of The Office being the best show or the best comedy show? Both?
So, what I have been saying traditionally, this is not actually the argument I'll probably bring to the table tonight, but what I've been saying traditionally is that The Office, on average, provides greater enjoyment for people in our generation than any other American sitcom, essentially, so TV American sitcom.
Okay.
So in that category would be like Seinfeld, Friends, The Office, Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec's like a distant fourth, though.
I'm just saying those would be examples of when I'd say like TV American sitcoms.
Well,
we're staying in the domain of like Office, Friends,
starting the night
Friends,
with the
Seinfeld.
Ultimate walk back on his take.
Okay.
It's not a walk back. It's just...
We went from greatest show ever to most entertaining for a generation.
provides the most enjoyment and entertainment for our generation.
Delicately phrased.
We're
getting a call already.
We'll hash it out.
On line one, I'm going to scan this right now.
Hey, caller. Can you hear me? Hey, how's it going? What's your question? Okay, I'll put you on the air. And what's the name? Where are you from?
You guys can probably hear this a little bit in the background. Pat's screening the call.
We need call
screeners. Hey, Mike, are you here? Mike from Norfolk? Hello, Mike from Norfolk. You there? Hold on.
Mike from Norfolk, can you hear me? Okay, 1 second.
Yep, 1 second. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
All right, cool. Yep. We're good. Ask your question, Mike from Norfolk.
Oh, I just wanted to point out that The Office is like fifth from the best show entertaining people in our generation. I mean, you have It's Always Sunny, you have Letterkenny, you have a lot of people go retro with like Friends. I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm just, you know, How I Met Your Mother. I mean, The Office is like dry, hacky humor at best.
Wow. Shots so fired right off the bat.
Shut down that redhead goofball's idea.
Thanks for your contributions, Mike.
Are we streaming?
We appreciate your opinion. Well valued.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Later.
He actually provides some good examples of some good shows.
And I agree. There's more quality shows out there, far beyond The Office. We're not going to talk about today, just for the sake of argument. Yeah. You know, okay. We can't get too in depth with too many things.
We can't. We should stick to our
I think the top three: cores. Seinfeld, Friends, The Office. All right.
Are you on the Seinfeld position?
I am,
because I came
kind
from,
of neutral
from the Office position.
But
Ben's going to be on the Friends position.
I've
seen all of The Office, but I haven't seen all of Seinfeld.
That's must be another one of your friends, because I'm full on the Seinfeld take.
All right. Okay. Go ahead with the Seinfeld argument. What's your argument, Ben?
Okay. I mean, I'll start it with this.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld came on the air 1989, lasted till 1998. So that's a nine-year run.
What was The Office, Ryan? Do you know?
Office was 2005 to 2013.
That's also a good stretch.
Good stretch. Pat, you said something about Seinfeld the other night. Well, how did Jerry decide to end that show?
He decided to end it. How did he decide? He decided to go up when it was on its top, when it was in its prime.
When it was in its prime.
Much like Tom Brady should have done.
You can take that now, you can take that later.
We'll save that.
Okay.
We'll put that in the piggy bank. So Jerry Seinfeld goes out on top.
Yep.
9 years, some would say it felt too short.
Mm-hmm.
The Office, 7 years, a lot of people would say it felt too long.
Mm.
I mean, you have a show that went on for two more years, more seasons, has been streaming for 20 years, and people want more. And
is that a fact?
But does Seinfeld have a new life on streaming?
It is coming to Netflix, I believe.
Oh, it's not even on streaming yet.
It's probably on some separate streaming service. Okay. But it's coming more mainstream.
Well, it's been in syndication for 20 years.
Hmm. It'll be interesting to see if it bridges that divide, because I don't know if people are really going to have an appreciation for something that they don't know as much.
Yeah.
Younger people.
So I wasn't aware we were bringing the Seinfeld into the mix tonight, but for me, there is definitely something that I need to recognize, which is the time periods which these shows came out, which makes it very difficult to start comparing which was the better show. I think we need to determine what are going to be our metrics for determining what the better shows are tonight, which, as long as we agree on it, then I think it's a totally fair conversation. Because, for example, we're not going to be able to take into account streams, or I would expect Seinfeld to have way less streams, given that streaming was not really... It wasn't
they grew up with Netflix.
Yeah, we're dealing with two different currencies.
We are. And then Friends kind of bridges the... It really doesn't. I mean, maybe the early side of streaming, the early side of DVR is when Friends ended. But then The Office came around with DVR, with the ability to kind of... You don't have to be there to watch the episode in person. You don't have to set up a VHS. You can kind of watch it with your own time. And then it eventually came to the streaming platforms like Netflix, which is really where I think it saw its growth and its... meteoric rise to become the best show
of all time.
Well, to the millennials at least.
Okay. And so what is your view of the laugh track? Because I know that you have
let me dive into this a little bit. So my opinions on why The Office was such a great show did not start by me just watching The Office. It was actually when I was single, I was on some dating apps, and I kept seeing references to The Office. It was like an absurd amount. References to the characters.
But do you think any of those people actually saw it? I mean, not any of them, but do you think a lot of them even saw it? Or do you think
episodes, I highly doubt most of them watched it at beginning to end.
The reason why I disagree with that is because when they were discussing the shows were already on Netflix, all the seasons.
Yeah.
So it seems like people were diving into them. I don't think people are just going to jump into a random episode of The Office, because you don't really have any character development or appreciation for the characters. It's the type of show I think you kind of start from the beginning.
That's not the premise of The Office at all. The premise of The Office was you can watch it any night on TBS, just like Friends, and you can dive in the middle of any episode, you don't need any context.
But if you really want to appreciate the show, Well, generally when you stream a show, you start from season one, episode one. So let's just say that. So when all the seasons are available, I don't know why you would just jump into the middle of it. If you're going to give the show a chance, you generally start from the beginning of it. But you are correct that if you want to turn on the TV or if you want to just jump into any episode, you could follow, I would say, 50 to 70% of the episode. But there's also going to be character relationships that came into effect much earlier in the seasons. And that goes for any show. So let's put that on the table. But going back to what I was saying, I was seeing a lot of references to The Office. I was actually seeing it on Instagram profiles, like Facebook profiles, but then I was really seeing it on apps like Tinder and Bumble. So I was like, wow, this is actually kind of funny that girls, both sides, I knew, I'm not trying to say it was, you know, one sex preferred the show over the other, but to see that it was the type of humor was appreciated by kind of both genders and all genders.
To me, when I saw that for the first time, because I definitely know what you're talking about, like so many Office references, but for me it was like, this is the same thing as the chicks that are like, I'm going to travel to every continent and they've been to like, you know, six brunch places I like to travel to different places.
Traveling.
And like,
that's often when you see.
You really want to go to Antarctica. Really? You really want to go to Antarctica?
All seven continents, yeah.
Not very many brunch places over there.
Quite the long boat ride.
Is it fair to call The Office the Woo Girl Show?
What's a Woo Girl Show?
You don't know what an Instagram Woo Girl is?
I don't know.
No, I know.
Explain.
Like girls with white claws. They hold them up on Instagram and they woo with the white claw.
Wait,
it's like the popular, like basic, like, look what I have. Ooh, Starbucks coffee. Ooh, White Claw.
Oh, so it's like an influencer, kind of?
No, it's just like the thing they
all... I think you're saying it's a superficial reference.
Oh. Yeah, grasp onto.
Oh, okay.
It's the basic,
so it's
you know
a bandwagon
what.
Thing?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
I think a good argument can be made for it. I mean, it's certainly, if you're all you're talking about, or you're like a couple of favorite TV shows and that you like drinking, I wouldn't say that the person comes off as an intellect, but if they say that they want, you know, they're looking for the gym to their Pam or whatever, however you want to phrase it, you know, often that's something I'd see. The Jim and Pam relationship in The Office is kind of one of the big narratives that I think females can really identify with, especially if you're into the kind of romantic genre. There's a little romance there. There's the kind of raunchy or awkward comedy that Michael Scott provides. There's the very serious, nerdy Dwight, and then you've got like the Jim aspect interacting with the romance with Pam, but also you know, his pranks on Dwight. So I think it kind of provides a different type of humor for different types of people, but it makes it very enjoyable for various different groups that may appreciate different types of humor. So I like that it blends it together. I don't necessarily think I see that.
It's got a coalition. The Office has a coalition.
It does. I think it can pull from different types of groups, whereas I see Friends and Seinfeld as being more of a, just kind of like a cozy, warmier.
Actually, no. I disagree with you that. I think Friends, yes. But this is actually the point that I was going to bring up.
I was
going to
go with Pat on this. Is Friends 100% warmy, cozy? I don't think it's really fair for you to call out Seinfeld for not having that when you haven't watched this show.
I mean, I've watched all these shows. I haven't watched them from season one, episode one to the end.
Seems like if you were really going to give it a chance, you'd dive into episode one.
My dad watched Seinfeld, which, by the way, is 63. So that's to give you a little realm of the types of people that are interested in that type of show. yeah. And how old is Jerry, by the way? Was he in his late 50s, early 60s?
How old is Michael Scott?
Jerry right now, Jerry Seinfeld,
Steve Carell.
Is in his 60s, like 62, 63.
Okay.
So he was 40 Wikipedia, when the show was on.
Jerry Seinfeld's 65.
Okay, 65.
So he was 35, 40 when the show was on.
So obviously...
younger than
obviously
Steve,
Seinfeld Steve's has 57. More of a boomer audience because that's when it came out. But interestingly, yeah, you were talking about Seinfeld being like more warm and fuzzy. I definitely agree that Friends is that way. Seinfeld, I actually think, was groundbreaking partly because it was like so cynical and all of the characters like backstab each other and there's like not a whole lot of redeeming value to those characters. Kind of like what Mike, the caller, was saying about, well, he didn't say this, but he brought up It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think that Seinfeld was a precursor to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I actually think that Friends was the precursor to The Office. And I think The Office was kind of groundbreaking when it came out is because a lot of shows when The Office came out were kind of like Seinfeld and that very like cynical, all the characters don't really have redeeming qualities. And then The Office came out and and all the characters are pretty much sincere. And
so that's a good point. I actually see, so Seinfeld, they're actually relatable characters, like especially, I don't know all the characters' names, but they're like, when they go on dates or their peculiarities about like a female date that, who's the little guy in Jerry Seinfeld?
George.
George, okay. Yeah. George, I remember this one episode where George goes on a date and he starts noticing very masculine attributes about the date he's going on.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This gets him kind of paranoid as to who he's dealing with.
Is that the man hands lady?
The man hands lady, yeah. Okay. But I think it's, in a way, it's still relatable to this generation because like, you certainly see the same types of things on dating apps, or you run into the same issues when you're meeting people at a bar. So I think it's a relatable show. Friends, I also think is a very relatable show. The Office, I don't think is as relatable, except for the romance part. Like, I don't think anybody can say they've worked with the character like Steve Carell, but I think it's, we appreciate how we're not actually there in person having to deal with the awkwardness, but we can sort of imagine how awkward it would be. So we appreciate the humor from like kind of that standpoint. Whereas with Friends, I think it's more of like, I have friends like these. And
yeah.
It's more like, this kind of happens in my life. This is kind of just like a comedy or a sitcom having to do with like similar relationships that I have.
As someone who works in a sales office, you have no idea how relatable some of those characters are.
In Friends or The Office?
In The Office.
Oh, yeah.
things that happen.
Wow, look, I think we basically just created a bridge. So this is what I kind of think happened here is Ryan came in with a very nuanced take, and you were kind of, you were just like ready to go, and you have all these notes and everything. And did
you
kind
of have basic facts.
Oh, okay. Did he take some of the wind out of your sails when, you know, like you're kind of, you come in hoping for like a battle, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a second, I kind of agree with what he's saying.
Kind of agree.
Well, I'm the parent, and we're dealing with a little kid who says he doesn't like mashed potatoes, but he's never tried them.
Okay,
never watched the show. How can you have an opinion on Seinfeld? You've never watched the show.
No, I just already explained I have watched the show.
No, you've watched it in the background with your father. Just
no,
like,
I said I've watched several.
It's like you watch
the
Patriots and understand football. But
I do.
You had this take.
What was the take?
That The Office was the best show of all time. I disagreed, and I would say I probably saw 70% of the episodes via TBS, you know, watching, scrolling through the channels at night, and I sat down and I watched it beginning to end so I could formulate, not for this, just so I could formulate a true opinion on the show that you claim was the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
Ryan's
better than it was better than I thought, but it was nowhere near the best.
Okay. And which show do you think is the best, just so we're clear on what...
The best sitcom of all
time?
Well,
no, I mean, you're saying that I have said, which I've never said, The Office is the best show absolutely ever. I was just arguing
we can pull the text message.
It provides... I think it provides the most enjoyment for people in our generation. Because it's not real... It's mindless in that you can kind of put it on in the background or you could watch it. And it's really funny. And there's not really like a lot of in-depth thinking where you have to like... Whereas like with a show like Breaking Bad, which I know this doesn't come into it. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot going on there. There's
you
want to
get
characters.
Into the best show of all time.
Would you say Breaking Bad is the best show of all
it's
time?
It's the best one I've ever seen.
So how often...
Do you need to see The Sopranos if you
I
haven't
do.
Seen it.
How often do you just throw on a random episode of Breaking Bad, kick back, relax, and watch an episode of Breaking Bad?
Well, no, I don't. But that's why we're not comparing Breaking Bad to these shows.
Correct.
It's a completely different...
But my
argument... It's like an elongated
my
movie.
My argument, though,
we have
is
had
that
argument
it provides
too before.
A rather easy form of enjoyment and entertainment, The Office. And it's pretty funny. And I think it's very funny. And I don't think I'm the only one based off of... Now, I know, Ben, you brought some notes, and I could dive into some notes, too, if you want me to start doing that. I mean, I was looking at... I didn't bring in Seinfeld, unfortunately. I honestly did not know we were talking about Seinfeld, so all my notes have to do with comparing Friends and The Office.
It's okay.
But if we stick to the Friends and The Office, I was looking at, for instance, Rotten Tomato scores, which have...
Which are aggregate reviews, right?
Aggregate like all reviews, the reviews by, I guess, technically critics.
Yeah.
That score The Office higher than Friends. Okay, I think they have The Office at 88 and Friends at 78, which is a cumulative score over all the seasons. So this is the average score. We have data that was collected by Nielsen, which does... They'll measure...
My God,
TV
you have
ratings.
Actually a manila folder.
And I'm the bad guy for bringing it.
Three documents. Okay, no, you're not a bad guy at all.
So they analyze... So this is Friends in the Office. Now, the reason why I love making the Friends in the Office comparison is because they did come out with some overlapping, not maybe some overlapping time, but so close to one another. There are people from our generation that watched both shows, and both were available on Netflix for streaming. But the data shows that The Office was viewed much more than Friends. So this is data from 2018. The Office accounted for 7.19% of viewer habits on Netflix, whereas Friends only accounted for 4.13%. So you're looking at about 75% more consumption of The Office over Friends.
Is there data that says when people were watching? I don't know if that would even, this like, over, is there a certain...
What do you mean, like time of the day?
Yeah, or like anything in particular.
Didn't get that granular. Okay. I can tell you it was from, I think it was over an 11-month period from the end of 17 to like mid to late 2018 was when that data came out that I just explained. They also, the Wall Street Journal had an article in April 2019 where they looked at the number of cumulative minutes for the top two shows on Netflix, being The Office and Friends. There was a total of, I think it was 45.8 billion minutes watched, streamed of the show The Office, and only 31.8 billion minutes for the TV show Friends. So I think a really good argument can be made for when the shows were on TV, which shows were better. I mean, Friends has won more awards. Okay, I can tell you that. Friends only has one, I think, additional season more than The Office. So they were pretty much on the air for the same amount of time. They have more awards. They had more viewers when the shows aired live. But I also recognize that Friends came out at a time when the culture was you'd get home and you'd watch the TV show after work. Mm-hmm. And that was really the only time you could watch it.
Yeah.
Whereas you'd share it all at the same time. Once The Office started coming out, that wasn't the case. But I don't think that explains the whole difference. I really think that The Office matured and became what I believe it is today based off of streaming on Netflix. So it kind of got a second wind after it aired, essentially.
Do you think that one of the issues is that kind of Ryan comes at it from an analytical perspective and you're coming at it more from a like hearts and minds perspective wherein you can't really... are you speaking two different languages?
Kind of like, well, yeah, logic versus the emotional, I think is what it comes down to.
Would you say that?
We're talking about a guy who doesn't even know what show I like. Obviously, no, talks twice as much as he listens.
You're here to argue for Friends.
No, I'm not. And Seinfeld. I was never here. Yeah, for Seinfeld.
Okay, well, you've always argued.
Here's how I view...
So do you think The Office is better than Friends, or do you think The Friends is better than The Office? Let's just do that, those two right there.
Which
is better in your opinion?
Here's what I think. I think The Office...
Pull your mic closer.
I think The Office is a better show, front to back, than Friends. I think that's...
Okay, well, let's go on to the next show then. So let's go on to The Office versus Seinfeld then. I'm over here debating something we agree on.
No,
I'm irate. I've been taking notes. I wasted like 20 minutes at work today pulling together all these...
Well, you waste plenty of time at work.
Waste any time at work. I actually stayed late to pull all this, just for the record.
It is impressive. He has lots of pages with analytics and
the best pages
reviews.
And the best notes.
Yeah. Pretty good. Okay, what were we saying, Ben?
Personally, I like The Office more than I like Friends. Okay. I found the characters more lit. I don't know why you're giving me that look. It was never my take that the Friends was the better show. Again, doesn't listen.
All right.
To me, The Office is... It's the 2017 Red Sox.
Okay.
Were they the best Red Sox team of all time? Probably not. But everyone in their division was so bad that they were great.
I don't know sports, so I digress.
Basically, what I'm saying is The Office came out in a time where there was nothing. I mean, you had Always Sunny, but that I feel like Always Sunny has a very, like, it's...
I think there was way more out when The Office was... Like, I think there was way more competition when The Office was...
I don't think it was as high quality a show. I think if The Office had come out with its first season and somewhere between the 4 years where Friends and Seinfeld overlapped, that would have been it. You would have had one season show and it never would have taken off. You had Cheers, you had Friends, you had Seinfeld. I mean, you had some of the best shows taking place at the same time in the same era. And then after those shows ended, there was kind of a lull.
Hold on. Do you think that mockumentary style of The Office is just like lazier or easier to write than the old sitcom style where you had to have like a very structured story? Like, I think that that mockumentary style relies more on like an ensemble. You have all these different characters and I don't know, just writing seems like it would be different. It's almost like, and Ryan, I know that we used to have this argument between South Park and Family Guy, mm-hmm. where Family Guy is like a much more unstructured format, and it would have jokes peppered throughout the show, and South Park was more of like a written, construction paper, as you were probably about to say.
Yes, that's
a hobbling construction paper.
It's way better now, but back in the time, the characters wobbling around and the construction paper look to it, like, it just, to me, the aesthetics weren't there, so it was hard for me to, like, I'm sure the jokes are good. South Park is a very funny show.
Office seems more slice of life than Seinfeld was, where, like, Seinfeld had a story arc each episode, and Office, it's not like it didn't have any story structure at all, but it was more like, you know, it cut around and went to different characters.
I think you also have two shows that viewed character development very differently. Mm-hmm. The Office kind of hits you with, 10 to 12? Like, obviously, you have your main character, Dwight, Jim, Michael.
Yeah.
But they kind of hit you with, 12... This is the cast.
Yep.
Up front. It changes. Andy Bernard comes in later. A couple other people come in later. Mm-hmm. But they kind of ride it out with the same cast the whole show. Where Seinfeld basically gives you three, maybe four, if you count Kramer as like one of the big four. And then they quickly develop characters for you that last with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can name off 20 different characters from Seinfeld that may have only appeared in a handful of episodes, but you know exactly what they are, what the jokes were.
The soup Nazi and
I mean...
I know what you mean.
That weren't as... Didn't take the time to develop. And for me, that's where The Office really missed an opportunity to be a greater show, is Michael Scott, at some point before he left, almost became unbearable for me. To list, it was like so over the top, where you had characters like Creed and Meredith and Ryan the intern, where it's like, if you dove deeper into them and gave them more of the light, I think that show goes on successfully.
They did give all those characters a little more light,
but not enough.
Why was Michael Scott so unbearable?
I thought probably, what was the last season he was in?
The seventh? Didn't it go nine seasons?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it definitely was two seasons without him.
So what, the fifth season?
It was nine seasons total.
Oh, so the seventh season. It was just like, it was pushing jokes so hard. Like, he was that guy who like took it right to the limit. And it was funny because it was new. It was The Office. It was a well-done show for those first five, six seasons. And then it was like the six or five seasons. So the sixth and seventh season, it was like, oh, it's funny, but like, is it funny enough? So let's try harder. And it for me, it just ruined the show, where you had such great characters that people always relate to.
Wait a second, but this might have to do with your consumption habits of the show, because when Seinfeld was available, when it was on randomly on television, you would have it like, you know, one night on a two. Well, you didn't see it when it was first out, probably, no. Because that was in the 90s, right? So we were very young. But, you know, when people used to watch shows once a week, it was, okay, you have a little piece of all the characters, and then you wait for the next week, and it just like... You slowly get fed the characters. And then with rapid consumption and binge watching, which is the Office, like, it's a completely different experience. So if you just like start shoveling down episodes of The Office one after the other, after the other, after the other, because The Office is more open on the streaming platforms, then maybe you just simply got tired of the characters because you had seen so much of them in so short of a span of time.
I agree with that, but I wanted more. Creed had some of the most cringeworthy, beautiful moments in that show.
Yeah, he did.
And it's like, we could have expanded on that so much more.
Yeah.
And I agree, binge watching episodes, it does change the show and your perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, though, the Michael Scott character, you look at the way that Kramer is used in Seinfeld, where he's so overblown and over the top,
yeah,
but used so sparingly enough that when he does it, it's almost refreshing. Where it got to the point where Michael Scott does it, it's like, all right, guy, like, we get it.
I absolutely agree, or I believe that what Ben is saying is solely true for him and a very few number of people. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you right now, if Seinfeld does come to Netflix, which I think it is.
It is.
It is not going to outperform Friends or The Office.
Well, we don't know that because The Office is leaving Netflix.
The Office is leaving Netflix.
But greatest trade of all time.
We have the numbers. So I would be amazed if all of a sudden Seinfeld viewers, like the number of minutes of the show consumed in a year, jumped past 35 or 31.8 billion, which is where Friends stood in the year 2018. So even accounting for the fact that there's more Netflix subscribers. Okay.
So I agree. The demographic is heavily skewed towards...
It's too distant. It's not a relatable show. The jokes might be relatable, but now looking at the show, it just looks way too outdated. The level, the quality, of the resolution of the program is not going to be where current shows are. The cars and the technology in the show are not relatable. And I think that there are just better shows to watch that people are going to have a proclivity to watch over Seinfeld. Friends, I think, was teetering on the edge of, it's still a little relatable, mainly because of the characters, but it's still looking less and less recognizable. The Office, even The Office, is starting to look less recognizable, especially when you're looking at the earlier seasons.
Do you not think that that's a peculiarity to you, though, with the technology and the cars reference?
I think I consciously think about it, but I think that people may subconsciously not know why the show isn't as relatable, or may not be like attracted to bits of Seinfeld. It's not just because of the structure. I think it's just because when you look at it, just looks like an outdated movie.
Yeah. No, I agree with what he's saying. I mean, I heard
it's kind of like how the new Star Wars are significantly better than the old Star Wars in terms of the way they look. I'm sure the Star Wars nerds are gonna hate me for this, but like, was it Sam Harris? He talks about...
Oh, he said he hated both of them. I saw
the clip. He did. Seinfeld versus Star Trek. But for me, it's like, if you do not get into Star Wars, and you, like, if you watch Star Wars when you're younger, then you're not probably going to realize, you had no better cinematic technology to compare it to at the time. Yeah. That was kind of the peak of it.
Mm-hmm.
So as you progress and technology progressed and the new Star Wars films came out, it probably wasn't as like noticeable or not as, it wouldn't have even come up as an issue. But now when I go back to watch the old Star Wars, for me, I can't get past how crappy the quality of the CGI is. I mean, it was revolutionary for the time. But
it was First Contact back then, basically.
Yeah, but now it's tough for me. So I can get behind the new Star Wars, and I get behind the Mandalorian. I can't get behind the old Star Wars.
And I agree. I don't think you're going to see the numbers out of Seinfeld that you saw with The Office, and I think that the reasoning for that will mostly because a little bit of what you're talking about is it's outdated, it's this, it's that.
Well, the demographics,
the
right?
The demographic is we grew up.
Yeah.
We basically grew up with The Office.
We did grow up with The Office, but I don't think that's why...
And streaming.
We grew up with The Office, but that's not why people like it.
No.
I think it's because it was when it was... Streaming came around. The advent of streaming, and we grew up with streaming.
We grew up with streaming. We grew up...
Like our adolescence.
Like we were of...
High school,
college.
We were
the prime age to be watchers of The Office when it came out, when it premiered, and then when it started streaming, who wants to stream things? I want to stream things. You want to... That's what our generation does. We don't want commercials. We don't want this. We don't want to wait. We stream things. Who doesn't stream things?
Old people.
Our parents. Older people.
Boomers. Exactly.
Yep.
Okay, boomer.
So I don't think... And I think that's who's going to be most interested to go back and watch those shows.
Maybe Netflix adds commercials to those streaming platforms.
That'd be funny.
Because they know that the audience watching it won't mind.
That would be funny.
But I will be definitely interested to see if... I don't think Seinfeld will take off the way it has, just because I think that there's a cutoff of like 1993, maybe 94, of like people who don't even know what Seinfeld is.
Yeah.
Hmm. People will appreciate it. Sure. There's definitely going to be people who are going to appreciate both shows.
And to your point on the technology, I once heard a take that the entire basis of Seinfeld is completely crippled with the invention of cell phones.
Oh, almost how they meet up at the coffee shop
all
the time.
Every problem can be solved
with
a cell phone.
Yeah,
it was because they were trying to get in contact with somebody or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot.
Or
yeah,
just constant miscommunications of making parties cringeworthy when Jerry gets there and makes some off-the-cuff jokes, not knowing that one of the participants...
That's a good point.
...may be Native American. And I did it.
Okay, so one of the other interesting bits that kind of contradicts the whole, well, The Office went off, or Seinfeld went off in its prime, is what I brought up in the group text the other day, which is that the show Seinfeld is called Seinfeld. So when Jerry Seinfeld says, I don't want to do this anymore, which is what happened, there's not really a choice that Elaine and George and Kramer and everybody has to continue the show Seinfeld without him. So the show is basically forced off the air. Whereas if The Office were called, The Office wasn't called The Michael Scott Show. Mm. So it could continue afterwards. So it had the choice of a couple crappy seasons after Michael left. So there is something to be said for that. I think that Jerry had the right judgment of when to go off the air, but I think that a lot of it was forced because of that. a lot of that the show going off was forced because of that.
No, Ryan, I'll let you chime in on this too. But Pat, I feel like you're more of the neutral presence in the room between these two.
Okay.
I'm going to rattle off character comparisons.
Yes.
I want you to just tell me which, I don't want an explanation, just one word, who's a better character.
All right.
Jerry or Michael?
They're so different.
But they're both the main character. The show revolves around them.
This is going to devastate you, Ben, Michael.
Okay.
So Jerry, okay. By the way, Jerry Seinfeld in the show is a stand-up comedian, right? So he's in a way playing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So Jerry's humor, in my opinion, like when I see him on TV and stuff, I mean, I think he's funny, but he doesn't like bring the humor. Like Jerry Seinfeld, by the way, he's endorsed a comedian that I love, Mark Normand. Mark Normand has a totally different style comedy than I think Jerry does. But Mark Normand is, and Jerry appreciates Mark, and Mark appreciates Jerry. I don't appreciate Jerry. I do appreciate Mark, though.
I think you like less structured humor.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
More sporadic. I'm just like, I keep thinking of the South Park Family Guy thing, too, It's like Family Guy is like, it's so such an unstructured form of humor where I thought it was hilarious, but, it's totally different from the...
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. We have a couple more, more characters. This one, I think, is a landslide.
Yeah.
Elaine or Pam?
Elaine, by far.
By far. Yeah. That non-negotiable.
But Pam wasn't a funny character. I know, maybe that's the sole purpose of what you're saying, but like, I don't think she was created to be like...
I think she brought that awkward, like, kind of clamminess humor. But they're both the main female character.
Actually, to be honest with you, I don't think any of the women on The Office were funny. Elaine is like one of the funniest women that I've ever seen.
That's true.
Seriously, like, there are a lot of female comedians that like are just so cringeworthy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're not funny. And I think that Ellen DeGeneres, I think
are you about to say she's a bad comedian?
No, she's great. Oh, great. Ellen DeGeneres is great. Julie Louis-Dreyfus is great. And then I have like a canon of five that are, ahead.
This one's actually tough for me because I think it's the closest in the two shows.
Mm-hmm.
George and Jim.
George.
Yeah.
Because I love George, but I thought... The interaction between Jim and Dwight throughout that's what really made the show for me.
Mm-hmm.
The Office was Jim's interactions, but
Jim without Pam and Jim without Dwight, I don't think Jim's a good character.
I agree with that.
I think
I think he carries those.
George is funny. I think George was it Costanza?
Costanza, yeah.
I think he was a funny guy.
Seinfeld has more standalone characters that work on their own, whereas Office really was that kind of ensemble that like gravitated around Michael, but it still was like. You know, like you needed all of them together.
Synergy. Really work. The sum of the whole was greater than their individual parts.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the final one, Dwight and Kramer.
Kramer by far. Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You say Kramer?
Okay. Yeah.
Kramer. So I think
I got Dwight. I love
so,
Dwight.
So that's where I come off is three of the four main characters of Seinfeld are just better, more well done characters.
Yeah,
throughout the entire spectrum of the show.
I do have a problem with the Pam Elaine comparison, but I think that's just because like
I don't know who else you're going to compare.
I think you just put them together because they're both women, but like I don't think Pam is an equivalent to Elaine. You'd have to have picked like a.
I think if you picked a big four in The Office, Pam is one of those characters. Is she not?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, who would you argue for the fourth biggest character?
I guess you have to be right.
Dwight, Jim. Michael.
I guess it would have to be Pam.
Pam. I mean, Ryan's pretty significant.
No, it would never be Ryan. No. I think it has to be Pam. I think you're right.
You know who Ryan is? And this is a blowout for Seinfeld as well.
No. Who his comparison is in the other show?
Yeah, like equal time, equal...
Who?
Newman.
Yeah, everybody hates him. Yeah, he's a villain. Okay. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, it boils down to like... An argument in defense of Seinfeld is kind of like this was a pivotal show that really paved the way and was a pioneer show and respect your elders kind of argument. And then the other argument on behalf of The Office is so it's kind of like, the other argument on behalf of The Office is, hey, this is kind of right now what happens to be the best. No disrespect to Seinfeld, but it might have been the best at storming the beaches at Normandy, but it doesn't mean it's the best at knowing how to work an iPad.
True.
So that's kind of how I see it. Anyway, the next question that I was going to have is actually somewhat related to, and did you have any other last bits on that? On Seinfeld, Office, Friends, anything?
No, I'm just pretty satisfied that we walked away from this conversation with Ben in agreement that The Office was better than Friends, which is really all I cared to hear today.
That is the worst take of all.
You disagree? You said you think it's better.
Then what?
Office is better than Friends.
Yes. I've always been on that boat. You just haven't been listening.
No, well, you always come to Friends' defense. I don't ever talk about Jerry's, the Seinfeld show.
Because you haven't seen it, so that makes sense.
I've seen a couple episodes, but it's not for me. Why would I?
How do you know?
Would I ever argue?
You never give it a chance.
This is great, guys. Thank you for ending on conflict, because this leaves room for the next fight.
If it comes to Netflix, I'll give it a chance.
The next fight. This leaves room for another episode, a rematch. This is great. So the next...
I'm going to start in the middle, though, because you say that's okay.
When it's on TBS, it's okay.
I had brought up Family Guy and South Park before, and I was curious if I was noticing
Big Mouth is better than both of those, by the way.
Big Mouth,
Netflix TV show, hilarious.
I've never seen Big Mouth.
Oh, it's so good.
So I was overhearing some, I don't know, maybe 7-year-old, 8-year-old kids talking the other day, and I was thinking that their style of communication is literally just vocal ADD. It's like any older person, and even somebody our age talk or overhearing this, it's almost nonsensical. It's almost like, this is what I was saying about Family Guy. It's like a Family Guy plot, but the way that they talk, in the sense of like all of these references to things all over the place. There's so many dense references in the things that they say. I mean, you think about consumption of memes and how that really starts to shape the way that somebody communicates, and man, like, there is going to be such a communication issue between the older generations and the younger generations, I think.
And I'm not anywhere near smart enough to know the scientific term for this.
Yeah.
But I saw something where it was like, teachers, don't speak down to your kids for using slang terms.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage them for, you know, big scientific word of like finding new ways to communicate.
Yeah.
I mean, language evolves and communication evolves. And I think that every single generation is going to be able to pick out some negatives or be critical of the new generations beneath them.
Yeah.
I think our generations thought that older generations, like the baby boomers, they thought that working with millennials was going to be extremely difficult. I remember there were articles about it when we were kind of coming through high school into college.
The greatest generation before them thought the boomers were out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be able to find examples everywhere. I do think, I'll let you continue your point.
Well, that was basically my point, is that I it's almost like humanity has just been shot through a series of successive cannons where, like, you know, we had in the most recent ones being the Industrial Revolution and now the Infotech Revolution where, and you have these tighter and tighter timelines where these developments are so, so rapid. Technology, boom, 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 that, like, the sense of continuity is going to be something that we really have to work on and be mindful of. In how we interact and how we engage each other in different generations, because it's hard. Like imagine being, you know how they say that, like, as you get older, your brain is less elastic and new information is just much harder to synthesize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that we have to be just empathetic of the fact that, that a lot of this stuff that we take for granted is just like complete inundation. And my mom had always told me this when we would visit my grandparents, and, you know, like, my dad, my sister, and I would always kind of, like, you know, scoff and because you can only talk about ducks and deer and what's on the pond for so long before the conversation gets stale, right? But like, there really is just this bombardment of stuff and terms and media references that, right, I don't think we realize how, like, efficient that we've gotten at communicating that way.
Oh yeah, yeah. It is crazy, and I'm starting to see, like, the way, so there are new apps coming out and new forms of social media that millennials, and I, by the way, I have this theory, and I don't know if I mentioned this the last time I was on the show, that the amount of years between generations is going to become smaller because of how technology and the way that technology aids the generations to kind of like evolve.
Yeah.
They're going to become more tighter and tighter together. So for like, sure. Even though my sister's name is Julie, she's 21, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I consider her a millennial. She was born in the mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
But her friend group and then her friends that are a little younger than her, I think I would have a very difficult time relating to. Like, using TikTok.
TikTok, yeah.
Which I think is a really cool app. But they're like...
It's basically music, right? A little musical bits.
It's kind of like Vine, but it's just like more advanced and there's like more capabilities with it.
And it is, yes.
You can overlay, like, you can take videos. You can take the videos and take them in different... Like, continue on a video, you know, down the road, like 5 minutes later, an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially compiling like different pieces of the video, or you can do one continuous video. You can overlay text that pop up into the screen. You can add sounds and music. You can make your own sounds, make your own music. You can take a song or a sound that somebody else used in another post and you can use it in your post. So that people, so it's in a way like you're sharing. If the commonality or the funny thing in the meme is like the sound or what they're doing with the sound, you can borrow the sound, take the sound, and then kind of do your own rendition of it.
Mm.
But if we want to continue to your point of communicating, I'm noticing politicians starting to adapt the new forms of social media in order to communicate, to try to reach out to those where traditional means, like through media or through commercial advertising on TV and maybe Facebook posts, aren't sufficient anymore. Now you have to get onto Instagram. Andrew Yang has his policies laid out in Instagram. I don't know what they're called. What are they called on your Instagram? Highlight reels. So at the top of your Instagram or on your Instagram profile, you can save down, you know, highlights of your profile. And I see like Andrew Yang posting his policies, which he's got like dozens and dozens, maybe even hundreds of policies. And I see him posting them with little highlights at the top to go through them. And I was like, wow, this is actually a cool way to go through. I was going through them. Then you can swipe up if you want to learn more. And when you swipe up, you can click on the link. It's like, that was an awesome way to use Instagram to kind of get to myself and maybe some younger folks who are probably not going to go to the candidate's profile, but maybe we'll come across them in an interview or something on their Instagram feed. So... And they're probably using TikTok too. I just don't surf TikTok for politicians, but I'm sure they're using it in some way.
I've never engaged with TikTok before. Have you, Ben?
No.
I downloaded it and I use, but I was really consuming it. I wasn't creating content, so it really didn't seem like necessary to keep the app. And then I was also a little freaked out by the fact that it's Chinese owned. So I was like, it's downloaded in the app.
Data.
Or I was just more of like I'm not going to really use it, and I don't want any type of security.
You're so interesting to spy on.
It's cumulative data. I mean, it's just like learning the habits of consumers and stuff. And
yet you talk to your little Google bot in your kitchen all day.
I do, but I trust I trust my data with an American company more than I trust it with a foreign entity.
It is a multinational.
Adversary.
That could get concerning.
Anything can be hacked.
Yes, but your argument is that little old me is not going to get hacked. So,
I was thinking the other day that it might start to be like, when we have kids, they're going to potentially, if we're not careful in moderating this and mediating, they would look at our parents potentially like we would look at somebody from the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't relate to a lot of this. What is this? Like, this person did all this stuff and
I think
what?
We need to, you know, the way that we maybe judge older generations, it's going to get judged and thrown right back in our faces when we're older. I'm going to try to stay ahead
of
technology.
Not that much older,
I'm
going
to try to adopt it, but it's tough. Like, when you're busy and you're trying to make money, like, you just don't necessarily have the time to be staying on top of what all the kids are using, especially when you don't have kids. If you don't have kids yourselves, then it's really hard to stay abreast of what they're using and like, try to just stay informed. It's easier when you have kids because you see them using it.
You're going to start to...
I guess that was one of the reasons I was interested.
You can go with Mike, the little kid lover, and find somebody else's kids.
That's
an
Office reference, by the way. Also, the That's What She Said reference is literally made famous by The Office, and that was like totally so applicable to our generation. I mean, does Friends have any like reference like that we like adopt?
Wait a second.
For those who watch Friends. You can't see that on the radio, but...
Yeah.
What was it? Pivot?
Pivot. Yeah, that's it. I've never even heard anybody saying that when they're moving furniture. Maybe older people.
How many times are you around?
It's not like they invented
furniture, though.
Yes, they made it bigger, but they didn't invent it.
That's what she said. I mean, I don't
know. As someone who never watched The Office,
made famous by The Office.
As a small child, that was something I said and my friend said all the time.
That's what she said at what? What age?
I don't know. Middle school, high school.
Middle school, high school is when The Office was around, dude.
Yeah, but I wasn't watching it.
I know, but the point is that you were getting it from somebody else who had taken it from The Office. So it was impacting your life more than you even knew.
That's what she said.
Can't say that.
All right. Do you have a PSA over there that you've chosen? You've flipped through the whole book.
It's more outdated than Seinfeld.
This,
it is. Those are some old PSAs.
This PSA? Really? I mean, some of them...
Some of them are modern, but some of them look a little...
Keep talking. I want to find something good.
All right. Well, I mean, we have 6 minutes left, so you got to find something quick. But... yeah, I mean, I kind of reached the end of my...
Yeah, so all in all, what I want to say is that my official argument and my official position on these TV shows is that based off of what I have seen, The Office provides the most enjoyment and entertainment for people of who are currently in like the 20 to 35-year-old age range. Mm-hmm. I'd say if you're in that age range, The Office is something you can stream. It's funny. You can jump into any episode. Assuming you... kind of understand the characters a little bit. You can jump into any episode. It is very funny. It's mindless. And it provides a lot of happiness in my life when I watch it. There's not too many shows that do that, especially if, you know, there's only a limited amount of seasons. Like, new shows will do it, but there's not a lot of new seasons of new shows. So it's tough. Like, Big Mouth, I probably currently, because it's new to me, Big Mouth, the show on Netflix, I probably get more enjoyment from watching an episode of that than watching an old episode of The Office, because I've already seen The Office. I kind of already know what's happening. It's new.
You're evolving, Ryan.
It's new. Good. I'm evolving a little bit. But The Office will hold a spot in my heart for the coming years.
All right.
Probably
I expected that.
Through the 2020s. It's,
and did you find one, Ben? We don't really have time for, like, if you have a quick counter argument or closing remark, but...
You know, I think when Seinfeld comes out,
I'm looking forward to it.
Should give it a watch. As far as the read goes, something we haven't got to today is what's happening in Australia, with the fires and all that. And something I, you know, see and can't help but send out to everyone on Instagram as
sounds like a political statement.
No, not at all. As you can see by me and Ryan's pictures on the promo today, both animal lovers.
Protect the koalas.
So this one goes out to the cause of every nose needs a home. Thinking of adding a pet to your family? The Sterling Animal Shelter reminds you that there are a variety of wonderful adult and young dogs at the shelter just waiting for a home like yours. For more information about the adoption, of pet care, contact Sterling Animal Shelter at 978-422-8585 or visit www.sterlingshelter.org.
I want to adopt a kangaroo or a koala bear with the fires. I'm sure they need a home.
Adopt local first, all right? There's some other...
Mr. Worldwide.
I knew it was bad over there, and then people started posting those pictures. That entire continent.
Yeah, there's like fires all over.
It's like the, like the shots from outer space.
It's not the entire continent. No,
from the shots like, from... The
it's,
shots
like,
are,
like, it's really like
I thought
widespread.
It was like...
It's like East Coast,
I mean,
West Coast, North and South.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine like when they say, oh, there's fires in America, and they you look and you take an overhead shot, and it's California. You know, those are very sad. People lose their homes. There was an overhead shot, and legitimately... All parts of that thing are on fire.
That thing being...
That continent of Australia.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize how widespread these things are.
I don't think I've even seen any of the photos.
Irony is not the correct word, but there's a little bit of an oddness in the fact that a country and continent that's completely surrounded by water has issues with fire.
It's very dry.
But I guess the United States is quite similar in that regard, but... Yeah, it's dry. But
what about the vineyards? Are the vineyards all right?
The Australian vineyards, yes. The wine. That's all I care about.
Protect the wine. Yeah, like all the tears. I remember like a lot of the tears.
How will these vintages turn out? If the crops are burned, then you could see that the prices for this year's vintages will be very pricey in a few years.
So was that you for California too, when all the stats were coming out and it was like, oh, we've got good news. All of the, you know, hundreds of people had survived that we thought were dead. And it's like, but the grapes, what about the grapes? All right. So we're at the end here. We have a minute and a half left and I never have a minute and a half. I just wanted to say, cause I always forget this. I do have a podcast as well. It's the Man vs. Mob podcast and it's on www.manvmobpodcast.com. It's a V, it's not a VS. And I'm also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and on social media. I have an account. It's at Man V Mob Podcast. So those are all the ways that you can find me. You also see me driving around. I've got a logo on my truck, and I think I told you I got after getting the new plates, the commercial plates, and I got ticketed, I switched back to the old plates. So now I have my old plates back, and I haven't got ticketed. I still have the decals, and
wait, so you got the company plates.
Commercial plates.
I got the commercial ones, and then I got ticketed, and I was told you can't park on the street with commercial plates, so I went back to my old plates, and now I'm all set, so I'm good.
Okay.
Went around the world, came back, and now I'm all good. All right, so thank you, Ryan and Ben, for coming in. You're always welcome back, and I'm sure that I will be inviting you back.
All right.
Thanks for having us on the program, Pat.
Of course.
It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Man V Mob Radio signing out.
Nobody swore.
Patrick Cook. Yeah, nobody swore. Good job not saying clitoris, by the way. I know that was tempting.